Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful day in New Jersey, a beautiful crisp fall day, and we are so grateful that you're spending your Friday morning with us, so thank you for joining. I'm really excited to welcome back to the show two extremely intelligent and successful business owners, also headquartered in Chatham, Catherine Nuck Freeman and Suzanne Serra. They have a vision of making every company harassment-free and forward-thinking and productive, which is really a great partner to have here at Triple Win Sales. For those of you tuning in for the first time, my name is Laura Alley. I'm the owner of Triple Win Sales, headquartered in Chatham, New Jersey, and we're thankful to have you on the line. And welcome back to the show, Catherine and Suzanne. How are you guys doing?
Thanks, Laura. We're doing great today.
Good morning.
Good.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I love to hear it. So I don't know if you guys watched the Emmys last week, but I did. And the winner of the Best Comedic Actor, Jeffrey Tambor, he actually said something interesting, I thought, on this subject when he was accepting his award, where he said he wouldn't be unhappy, you know, if he was the last side gender male to play the transgender role, opening up to there's so much transgender talent out there. You know, it's a shame that they're not cast for those roles. Did you guys happen to catch that speech?
I didn't catch the speech live, but I read all about it in the press the next day. And, yeah, he definitely made an impassioned plea, and it was listened to. I mean, the nice thing about the media nowadays is it picks up on important messages like that, which really, you know, help carry issues like that forward.
Yeah, and the great thing is, right, it's giving it a public face in a forum that's getting so much coverage. So like having a transgender speaker at the Democratic National Convention, having him talk about these issues, and making it more of a mainstream issue that it seems like people really care about. And unlike Kath, I didn't actually get a chance to see it live, but you really couldn't miss the dialogue the next day on social media and the news. And so it's really fabulous for companies like ours who are partnering with our clients to try to raise awareness about these issues.
And they are out there because sometimes people think transgender individuals, it's such an outlier, it's a one-off. And if you look at studies, there are up to, one of the most recent studies says there may be as many as 1.6 million transgender individuals in the U.S. workforce. So that what that means is companies need to know how to handle these issues. They need to know what their requirements are under law. Their employees need to know what their responsibilities are in interacting with their transgender colleagues. And, you know, another recent study really talked about how more than 90% of transgender employees in the workplace claim that they've experienced harassment due to their gender identity. So it's a real issue, and, you know, there's growing awareness, which means employers they really need to get on top of it. They need to be ahead of the curve and really be, you know, good corporate citizens and comply with the laws and strive for best practices.
Yeah, this is truly cutting edge, and, you know, the companies that are most committed to having a diverse and inclusive workforce, they're really on top of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you thought that discrimination for transgenders really was an issue, but it sounds like from what you said, my gosh, it really is. And I think you're right, like because of social media and everything out there in the press, it's becoming more top of mind of people that might not have thought it before, but that number that you just quoted, Catherine, is just so much larger, I think, than most people realize as to how many transgender human beings are out there with us working, playing, and, you know, trying the best that they can to deal with this, I guess, right, in a productive way.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and even things like
go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Laura. I was just also going to add that even some of the things that are happening from a governmental perspective that I think a lot of people see as a negative, like some of the laws, you know, restricting transgender use of certain bathrooms, all of that stuff is making this one of the, I think, most talked about topics. It's kind of rising up as an issue more quickly than anything I think I've ever seen in the last 20 years of doing employment law. And it's incredible how the focus has shifted so quickly. There's even something out there called the Corporate Equality Index that a lot of large companies use to measure and demonstrate their commitment to diversity. And that, it's basically the company completes it, they fill out information, and they essentially get a ranking on their commitment to these types of issues. And specifically in that, in the questions to qualify you for the highest ranking, companies have to articulate that they do in fact have a policy that includes protections for people who are transgender and of different sexual orientation. So, you know, all of these things are happening in the backdrop, and I think there are probably a lot of companies who are smaller or mid-sized who aren't even aware of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's really where training comes in, because anytime an employer needs to have a policy, what that oftentimes means is the employer creates a policy, distributes the policy, no employees read the policy, and so nothing changes. And that's why training is so essential. I mean, to Suzanne's point, this is an issue that's really starting to increase. And I can't tell you how many calls I've received from employers even over the past few months about issues where they'll say, look, we've got some teasing going on in our workplace about a transgender individual, or we have employees coming to us saying they really feel uncomfortable sharing a restroom, so they're talking about this individual. And those employees clearly don't know what their responsibilities are under the company's revised harassment policies. And if they did, they wouldn't be making the comments that they're making and exposing themselves and their employers to potential issues.
So I'm sensing that these conversations you have with your clients go beyond the question of how they should configure their bathrooms. Is that true? There's probably other issues that are coming up with them when they are, you know, worrying about engaging the transgender employee. Mm-hmm. What else do they ask about, or what else should I say? What else should they be utilizing as a best practice in their organization?
Right. Well, yeah, that's a great question, and the answer is developing. As Suzanne mentioned, the law in this area is not crystal clear by any stretch. So there are certain federal laws in place. There are conflicting state laws. There are conflicting interpretations. So really right now the conversation is primarily focused on best practices. And you see a lot of employers who have been in the media recently when, you know, in response to certain conservative states, you know, who are striking down attempted laws to really provide equality between transgender individuals and others. And you see corporate citizens saying, we don't really care what the law does or doesn't require us to do. We're going to go above and beyond. And these are the best practices that we're going to put in place in our corporation. So to your point, some of the issues that employers are trying to figure out how to address, because there's no bright line telling them how to, is, you know, how do they, for example, maintain the confidentiality of an employee when that employee is either transgender and not doing anything about it, or transgender and beginning the transitioning process. Another issue is, you know, what do companies do about the use of proper names and pronouns, and when do they make that switch, and how formal is, you know, record changing in that regard?
Right.
You already mentioned the access to restroom issues, both for those who are of transgender status as well as those who may feel uncomfortable with colleagues who are of transgender status, and there's a whole area of law and best practices that addresses that. And then, of course, there are other policies that are implicated, you know, the harassment and discrimination policies, dress code policies, and that sort of thing. So there are a number of areas which, you know, companies, one, should be training on, and two, better yet, could be workshopping on and really making sure that the employees understand, again, the dynamics of these issues in the workplace.
And what's challenging is because the laws are still so much in flux, it's really hard to, you know, advise clients on exactly what they should be doing. So I think the good news is that most of our clients are really erring on the side of being overly generous and making sure that their employees feel safe and feel part of the community and aren't ostracized and aren't embarrassed. Like, they're just doing the right thing.
Which is a great.
But part of the challenge is also, you know, how you create a cohesive workforce when you have certain people in your workforce that maybe aren't as comfortable with having a transgender colleague. That I think is one of the most challenging parts of this.
When I hear you guys speak, I think that the people, whether they're your customers or your prospects, are very lucky to have access to that advice that you have, because you guys have been in the employment law as lawyers for so long. But then you've also come out with a new venture that helps, like you said earlier in the broadcast, your clients stay ahead of the curve with really state-of-the-art, very current, very forward engaging training solutions. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the training piece of your business and how that could help anyone out there listening that might be struggling with some of these and other HR-related issues?
Yeah, thank you, Laura. So it's interesting. One of the reasons that we started Shift, our training company, is because we just saw a gap in the ability for our companies to get information out to all of their employees. So our law firm would often go in and provide live instructor-led training to the high, you know, to the high-level executives or to the supervisors or to the C-suite, but it's oftentimes cost prohibitive and difficult from a work standpoint with remote workers and people being spread out and having different shifts to get the training to all of their employees. So, you know, we started the training company to fill that gap and to create training that we feel not only portrays the important information to protect our clients from a legal perspective, but that also is trying to shift the culture within these organizations to be more inclusive, to be more tolerant, to improve the culture. So we wanted to really marry the you know, minimizing the legal risk with a product that also promotes a healthy workplace culture. And we looked out in the marketplace, and that's something that was really lacking. So we're proud to say that we went out and built it.
And it's interesting, Laura, because you know, we've had our current law firm for almost 11 years now. We've done the instructor-led training for that long, and truthfully, the thought of having some type of you know, initially 10 years ago, we were thinking about video-based prevention of harassment discrimination training, but we couldn't get over the hurdle of we were committed to training being interactive, and we thought, how can some type of video be nearly as interactive as our instructor-led training? And a couple of years ago, technology developed, we finally realized that with technology being as it is, we can create a completely engaging and interactive training that meets our standards, that really does educate and enlighten the learner and really impact change within the workplace effectively.
And I can tell it was developed out of a passion that you both really express really well about having everyone be good corporate citizens and doing the right thing and having organizations that treat everybody equally, which is how it should be. So I think it's very admirable. Is there any organization out there, I'm curious, as you're talking about the different types of training, the instructor-led that you used to do and now you're more state-of-the-art video cloud-based, is there any organization that measures how employers train their employees, or should there be an organization that does that? Because there's so many different recipes, really, for training success.
You know, Laura, before we answer that question, I just want to pick up on something that you said and just differentiate it for our audience. You know, you mentioned, you know, of course, our focus is really assisting employers to do the right thing, and you mentioned that it's, you know, it's admirable in many ways. In our minds, by doing the right thing, not only is it admirable, and that's, of course, what we strive to do within our organizations and help our clients, but it just makes excellent business sense. Because what we see on the end from the law firm perspective, when companies, not only when they don't comply with the law, but sometimes they comply with the law, but they don't do the right thing, they end up getting sued and challenged anyway. So they could be completely legally compliant and get sued because they're not doing the right thing. So in our minds, it's a two-prong argument. Do you do the right thing because it's the right thing for your people, for the business, for the society, and you do the right thing because it just makes sense from an exposure standpoint, and it'll put your business in a much better position financially and legally, even when it's not an issue of legality, it's an issue of equality. And in terms of who measures,
One of the part of the corporate equality index that I mentioned earlier, it does ask whether you train on the topic of, you know, inclusion, and that's part of creating your ranking. So obviously, the more training you do, the higher your ranking. And again, just from a legal perspective, to the extent that companies are not doing training, they're really losing out an important legal defense if they ever get sued for any type of harassment. So those are really kind of the key reasons, as well as obviously the ones Kath mentioned, which is that, you know, even if you're complying with the letter of the law, you do the right training to create the right culture, and it's a win-win-win for your business. You're improving the culture, you're improving retention and productivity, and you're minimizing the likelihood of being sued, and then if you are sued, you have a protection. It, you know, in our mind, we can't stress enough that it's such a minimal investment from a financial and a time perspective
mm-hmm.
to do some of this training for your employees, and the results that you yield are probably one of the best returns you can get in your business. So, you know, we are obviously passionate cheerleaders for it, and, you know, we're making it our job to really go out and educate our customers about why it is so important for them.
And that's one of the reasons why we're constantly upgrading our online training. So as you mentioned earlier, we have a prevention of harassment discrimination training. We have an unconscious bias awareness training. And into those trainings, we're now currently incorporating more modules on transgender so that those employers who really are striving to comply, and we have a number of big companies who are striving with to comply and really excel in terms of their ratings on the Corporate Equality Index, that they can do so from a training perspective and, of course, from a policy perspective and practice perspective.
Excellent. Well, that is a great note to end on, I think, for our broadcast is coming to an end. How can our listeners reach out to you and get more information or maybe just touch base? Maybe they have a couple questions that they didn't call in with, but they maybe want to ask you offline. What's the best way for them to reach you?
Absolutely. I think the best way to reach us is to go to our website. We actually have an upcoming webinar on September 27th, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on unconscious bias awareness and combating unconscious bias in the workplace. So if individuals or companies go to our website at www.shiftelt.com, they can find information about how to register for that webinar and how to get any other information about our training courses as well and how to contact us.
Excellent. Well, I can't thank you both enough. That was very, very informative. I know I've thought of things a different way and learned a few things I didn't know. So thank you so much, you guys. Have a great day and a great weekend, and hopefully you'll be back to our show soon.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks for having us, Laura. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.